course, social capital is a big topic, and it's been around particularly, of course, with work of people like Robert Putnam has become a big debate about whether the societies are moving towards more or less, and he's arguing there's less and less social capital in countries like the US, and that has negative consequences. Social capital is seen also in the regional economics literature, as there's been a lot of work done on regions that have a lot of social capital. From an economist's point of view, you think that means trust, it means networks, so it makes you able to interact in markets more efficiently. It also, there's research on it, links with well-being. So the point of migration is, if you think of social capital as some manifestation of networks and interactions, you are burning ships in a sense, or you're moving from one place to another, and you have to rebuild your networks. So that is, you can think of that as an investment in social capital that hopefully will get a return, and that would benefit your own situation. It could benefit the community you belong to, and there could be spillover. As economists, we're always looking at spillover benefits in terms of what we call externalities, and therefore it may benefit society as a whole. So the key hypothesis is that kind of at the bottom there is that social capital formation may vary depending on the demography, culture, and language of the migrant, as well as the spatial factors of the region they live in. And there is some quite recent research on this also here within Europe, and I want to mention one person whose work I'm familiar with, although I don't know him personally. He's called Bram Lancy. Does anyone know about his work? So he's been looking at how migrant outcomes are in terms of jobs and employment opportunities generally, and also wages. They do better the more they invest in bridging rather than in bonding. So I can give you some references of some papers from the last couple of years, and that actually is quite consistent with what we're going to find in this research study as well. So studies examining social capital among migrants are much less common. So there's a lot, of course, social capital is a huge literature, but what we found was explicitly looking at migrant social capital vis-a-vis social capital of community generally was far less well done, certainly not in a quantitative study, so that the kind of things that we economists like to do, and certainly this is the first one that's been done for New Zealand. And if we understand it better, perhaps it can contribute to policy formation regarding immigrant integration. So what are the kind of things that we do in this paper that we think are quite innovative? Firstly, the measures that we have, we believe we can split them into what we might call stock of social capital. So that is actual capital, but you also have measures that you can call like an investment. So that's the action you take to make your capital bigger. And secondly, we do make the distinction between bonding and bridging. I'll later on explain how we do that, and it's actually one of the areas where we have talked about this paper, or in other groups, there's most of the debate is about how we do that, whether that is the right way or not, and I'm also interested in your comments on that. Then we also, another innovation in this paper is, we look at how migrants are distributed across the country and within cities, and how that affects their social capital formation. And we will see that there does make a difference. So where there are more clustered, you might find there's more bonding and there's less bridging, and the results do indeed show that. And finally, what we do is we think quite innovative, is to say, okay, if we have two different data sets that give informal on similar phenomena, such as social capital, do these data sets, are they consistent in the results? So we replicate across two data sets. We can't do it for everything, but we can do it for some of our regressions. So what is social capital? Well, we use the definition from Hans Westlund, economist from Stockholm, and this is a book we cite there, Social Capital and Knowledge Economy. He says social networks which are created, maintained and used by the network participants in order to distribute norms, values, information and social attributes. That's quite a big definition, and certainly what we're doing is not as encompassing as that. We just have, as always, the analysis is very much determined by the data, and we just use existing instruments. We didn't generate our own data to match exactly with this definition. So what do? We look at existing data sets that tell us about participation in social activities and volunteering, and those things we call investment. So we think of them, they're activities that you undertake, and therefore they can increase your social capital. And then the last three, feelings of inclusion, contact with friends, and community safety, we think of as indicators of the stock. So how much social, if they are having a lot of contact, as recorded in the survey, that indicates they already have quite a high level of social capital. So the data that we use are from two different data sets, two cross-sectional instruments. We don't have here longitudinal data in this particular context. One is called the Adult Literacy and Life Skills Survey. I'm not sure if these surveys are... There are similar surveys in most countries, probably something like that in the UK. And the other one is the New Zealand General Social Survey, and that one is definitely very similar to the one that most developed countries now run. You also have a European Social Survey. Questions are very, very similar. The variables that are of interest are, as I said, they are what we find are the best proxies or constructs to try to test this framework I'm talking about with that kind of available data that was just given to us in a sense. So we also use some census data to look at the clustering of migrants across regions and within cities. Now, what we use is for the analysis is very straightforward. We run regression models where we use basically logit models. So we convert everything into simply yes or no, although the original questions may say something like a little or a lot, and then we just aggregate over to. So it turns into, we keep it really simple, into yes, are you volunteering, are you participating in some community activity or no, and so we then analyze it with the logit model. Now the ZGSS has got data on all five of the outcomes that we're interested in. The Adult Life Skills and Literacy Survey only has information on volunteering and participation, not on these stocks. So we can't replicate everything. We can only replicate the first two rows across the two data sets. And then when we go to bridging, bonding and geography effects, we, in the Adult Life Skills and Literacy Survey, there is much more detail on the kind of things they do, like you belong to a club, do you participate in political activities? And what we do there is we just tick boxes, how many of these things do they do, and you then end up with what turns out to be for bridging, five different types of bridging, so your maximum score becomes five if you do all of them, and five different types of bonding. So again, well, it could be from zero, of course you could do nothing, then so it's a zero to five scale for both of them, and then we use so-called Tobit regression to analyze that data. And so if we're looking at descriptives across the two surveys, you see that part actually there are differences in terms of, quite often to do also with framing of the question. So we see here that 70%, so that's roughly 6,000 people in these surveys, in all the data. So you see 70% are participating in community activities, 57% are volunteering, and actually in the adult life skills and literacy survey, it's much higher than what you get into GSS, where the percentages are 40 and 32. And if you then split between New Zealand-born and foreign-born, you see that the differences between the surveys are much bigger than the differences at the macro level. So, of course, we're going to model all these differences in much more detail with all the covariates, but this is macro level. There's not all that much difference between the, so if you take L's New Zealand born, L foreign born, 72%, here's a little bit more of a difference, more volunteering among the New Zealand born than among the foreign born. So here we have these different measures of these stocks of social capital measures. So I believe that they have sufficient contact. More 94% says yes there. Inclusion, 81%. Safety is the least generally acknowledged, so it's the lowest level. And again, there's some difference, but it's not huge. And also not in terms of this bridging and bonding. So here, this is simply the mean of, as I said, it could be anything for an individual between 0 to 5. So the number of things they ticked is not that many, because otherwise you would have had maybe a mean somewhere between 2 or 3 or something like that. So, okay, for the independent variables, there's more female respondents than male respondents. Children doesn't vary all that much across the surveys and New Zealand born and migrants. One thing I want to point out, because it is of interest in terms of international comparisons, is that in New Zealand the foreign born are in fact on average higher educated than the New Zealand born. So if you compare here the New Zealand born, the years of schooling 12.4, for the foreign born 13.5 on average. If you take the if we take the 13.2 versus 14.3, so both data sets clearly confirm that. Then we get a breakdown by the, so we have years, for example, years since migration. That's going to be an important variable, because we want to test whether the longer they are in New Zealand, whether their level of social capital goes up. And indeed, that we'll see is quite a robust result. Particularly the first 5 years are what really matters. After that, it kind of levels off. And you see the kind of different backgrounds. The surveys don't allow us to give very specific countries of birth. It's based on regions, so they're either from Asia, and some you could quibble over these groups if they're quite broad. There's still a lot of heterogeneity within the groups, and we can't really deal with that effectively with this data. So you see that Maori population is about 16% of the population. That's among the New Zealand born. Wherever it says NZ, those groups are, that's just basically people of an ethnic group within New Zealand, whereas the other ones, ROBs, refer to the foreign born. So let's get straight into the results. So what we're modeling here with these logit regressions is the stock of social capital. And what we've done is the dependent variable is in all cases what is what we would consider to be positive, right? So we had to kind of revert the data, because the question actually was the opposite. Do you feel excluded? You see what I'm saying? So we had to turn that around to, because what we wanted to look for is to get the signs the same, if there was this, we wanted to see if you could get the same sign across the row for the different variables, because in all cases that would imply the kind of thing that is a positive effect. The strongest thing is what we find here is that a lot of research on social capital finds is that education is the number one determinant of social capital. That's nothing new if you've worked in this field before. You see that, and of course having a job is also highly significant. And then we see some, for example, that people with children have somewhat more contact, and we find that males consider themselves to be more safe than females. And so, whether you think that's plausible or not, it's not really what the result that, of course, is the main reason for our paper. We want to look at this issue for what is happening with respect to the migrants. And so these are, what I'm showing is not, each table is not a separate regression, but they are part of bigger regressions in which all these variables are combined. I'm just splitting them up in the slides to make the slides easier to show. Okay, so we're pooling all the data, and we have means of identifying who's a migrant and who isn't. So we can allow for test for heterogeneity within the overall data set. But I just slice it up to make it easier to see. And you see here, for example, that the level of social capital for the Asian-born in terms of these variables, context, safety, and inclusion, is actually lower. So there's negative coefficients here, and they're quite across all the three indicators. And indeed, in other work I've been looking at, there are definitely, New Zealand generally is a fairly inclusive society. People would argue they're positively towards migration. But when you start digging into things like workplace discrimination, we've done a paper published in an Australian journal on this, we do definitely see there is evidence of workplace discrimination, particularly among visible migrant groups. So where there is there are issues there, and that's something that some of the research is now trying to get better to grips with and to address as well in terms of what policies might help with that. So here, this New Zealand other, again, this group, this is New Zealand born, but would be from an Asian or a Middle Eastern, Latin American, and African background. And again, so they have lower contact, and that's also true for the Pacific people. Interestingly, Maori do find themselves to be safer, but they don't find themselves as less inclusive. Yeah.
Who are they being compared to?
Oh yeah, so the very good. What's the reference group? Yeah. It's New Zealand Europeans. Yeah, good point. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, right. Yeah, no, there's always, of course, a reference group. Good point. Yeah, thank you. So then in terms of years since migration, so here we find that there, as I said, the most of the action is the first couple of years. And so here we see now, and the sign here, this is actually very interesting because there is a reason to explain this. Why do migrants, when they arrive in New Zealand, feel very safe and not after some years, after they're there? Well, in our view, this is because the perception of New Zealand, we know this because of all the surveys we do also of tourists. New Zealand is thought to be one of the safest countries in the world. Sadly, if it only were true, because we have considerable amount of, like every other developed country, and moreover, the crime that there is probably expounded or made to look bigger through the media. And if you arrive, you don't really have much contact with the media. You don't read perhaps yet much about what's going on. But I read here, even in Europe, every day the New Zealand Herald, and I'm already getting sick of it, because I look at, this is not news. Every day it's about court cases, it's about murders, because this is the stuff that sells. So I think what's happened here is that migrants, when they arrive, they still have this opinion, well, this must be a really safe place, they haven't had any experience. Once they stay a bit longer, they get just immersed in this perception that the country is actually not that safe as they were led to believe. And certainly, but in terms of context and inclusion, the levels are lower for the first few 4 years. And you look at the coefficient, they do seem to go up with years since migration. Okay. So then we go to participation and volunteering. So now we're talking about the investment, and we're running again low-jit regressions, and now we can compare, because we've got for this data the two data sets. Sadly, we didn't get as much consistency as we would have liked to. And it's a bit of a puzzle if you think that there's two surveys, surely the questions are framed a bit differently, but you'd still hope to see a lot of kind of robustness. And it was in terms of this, yes, age and years of schooling, but here. So we see that coefficient is not that different, but then why is it not significant if the L data, so this should have also said GSS, if that gives me a significant coefficient, these are actually quite similar as well. So these are completely different data sets. So this is nice, but here we do not get any significance and the number is a bit small as well. This is kind of really surprising that the sign even changes. And I'm almost thinking, I've had a look at this again this morning, I want to go back to the data, because if you look at this coefficient looks roughly similar to that, but opposite sign, and the same for that and that one. I wonder if we maybe did, we just could have just did the dummy the wrong way around. That sometimes, so I want to go back to the data to see if that's something that affected this particular regression. And it is actually the same effect. So ethnicity and birthplace for these investments in social capital. Again, here we do see consistency across the two data sets, negative coefficients for the Asian region of birth, positive for the Pacifica. That's an actually interesting, other studies have shown that there's actually quite high level of social capital among the Pacifica and among the Maori population. They also do invest, the census tells us this as well, they do more volunteering as well, and that, so not just these surveys, but the census tells us, that reconfirms that. But again, if we look at years since migration, you get, so this initial low level, and so we get this negative coefficient, it's significant here, sometimes it's not significant, but the pattern is always the same. Starts negative and then it increases and gets at highest level for certainly here and the ALL for the longest they are in the country. Okay, now bridging and bonding. So I haven't split there between, in terms of the activities, whether you could think of them as bridging or bonding. Now, a lot of people these days, and I must say, I'm kind of envious, it's not a literature I work on, with big data these days, people are able to analyze networks in very extensive ways. It's a really growth area. This is very much more simple than that. Here we have a survey that gives some information about some activities that these people conducted, and we just decide, well, would that have been likely to have been bonding or bridging? And then we do some robustness to see whether it makes a difference how we categorize them. So the idea of this is based on Friesen's this is a book that is called Economic Implications of Social Cohesion. Actually, was edited by Osberg, but he developed this scheme. And as I said, the general hypothesis is that more bridging is good for migrants, and more bonding leads to. It depends on whether you're in the migrant enclave or not. I've done all. Migrants quite often within a migrant community find it easier to get work, but the wages they earn are on average lower than if they were outside. So this is the kind of findings that you get in the literature consistent with this framework. So bonding may lead to increased segregation, bridging leads to broadening and spillovers. So how did we do it? So we have all these were all the activities, and this is how we categorized them. We argued that probably migrants who participate in politics probably do that within their own. Migrant politics is the most important to them. So we think of that as a bonding activity. Certainly also religious activities we think of, and I can give many examples that would be considered to be bonding. Participation in school activities, that's perhaps somewhat less obvious, and the same. Some of these are, you may find it debatable. Certainly in terms of the way sport is organized in New Zealand, certainly if it also was through teams within, regions or districts, they do tend to be quite diverse. So that diversity of the community is also in these, or in clubs that are organized. Community services are organized in a way that they are designed to be more diverse. So that's why we put those things in under bridging. But as I said, what we then did, after we had the split, we also did some robustness checks. So we started taking them out and switching them from one to the other to see if it made a difference or not. And according to Matt Rostridge, that was what he felt was the results seemed to be most consistent with our hypothesis of that breakdown. So then we also looked at population density, we looked at geography. So we looked at rural versus urban, argument being that rural areas have stronger social capital than urban areas. And we looked at migrant clustering, two levels, between regions and within a region. Here are the measures. So we've got the rural-urban split I already mentioned. This just comes from census data. The location quotient, or it's also called the Lichtenberg index, is a migrant group disproportionately located in a particular city compared with other cities in the country. That's across. So that's a cross-sectional one. And then within, so what we do within a TA, we have data at narrow area unit levels within the TA. So it's pretty straightforward to calculate what's called the Duncan and Duncan index of segregation. So if you look at the city as a whole, are there big clusters of migrants in that city or not? So they are two different things. So this is, are migrants more likely in one city than in the other? This is, are migrants more likely to be in one part of the city than the other? When you do that, you find that we now have a variable we call bridging, which is an aggregate of those different types of bridging. So a number that for an individual varies between 0 and 5. And we have the same for bonding. We ran these Tobert regressions. This is with the L data. We see now that the Pacifica are actually here. They're doing this as foreign-born. As I said, they have a high level of activity in both. Certainly for all migrants, it shows initially negative, and then it starts to get better and better. So there's definitely an integration and a stronger. So this whole idea of investment in social capital over years in the country is confirmed. And it's time. Yes, we should. I'm done. Last regression. So what we find is that the location quotient. This says that the more migrants are found in some cities and not in others, the less bridging there is. Right? Whereas on the other hand, the more they're clustered within cities, the more bonding there is. In a sense, we would have actually expected to have both of these. If there's more clustering within the city, you should also have less. So my prior would have been negative signs there and there, and positive signs there and there. It's just in those two cases, they're not significant. Not significant is as much as zero. So in that case, the hypothesis is still confirmed. So the conclusion are that migrants do enter with very little social capital when they arrive. They build up social capital with years in the country. It does vary. There's heterogeneity across migrant groups. Asians have a hard time in building these networks. Among Pacifica migrants, we do find they have strong networks within their community. And we do see that there is, as I said, there's a positive effect of integration over the years. And we do find this clustering between regions that lowers bridging, and clustering within regions actually increases bonding. And here are all the websites. These data can be obtained even by researchers abroad. They are under, if you wish to analyze them, you could use them. The Cadence, but we have a website. And also for our institute. So that's it.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.